Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak in Flow podcast, where we dive into unique stories and experiences to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even in high-stakes situations. Today, I have the honor of introducing a phenomenal CEO, entrepreneur, father. He does so much for our communities, especially around business development, relationship building. His name is Tom Gibbons, founder of two companies and CEO of two companies, Darts Only Golf and Axis CRE. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing great, Linda. Thanks for having me today.
I'm so excited to dive into our conversation. And before we get in, can you share with the audience your backstory, a bit about how you started these companies and what you're passionate about it?
Absolutely. So about 2 years ago, I was laid off from my, you know, stable corporate job that a lot of us have, and was put in a position with my family that I really want to kind of take control of my financial life and stability. So with that, I always had a passion for real estate. Been doing that for 25 years. And I love golf and charity work. I do sit on the board of a foundation in Los Angeles called the Barlow Foundation, which is a nonprofit respiratory hospital. And with that, I started putting on golf tournaments. So it was a natural progression for me to start a golf company, which focused on business networking and charity efforts for a lot of these groups. At the same time, I had a very deep bench strength of clients in the real estate world that were chasing me to continue to consult for them. So then I launched Axis CRE, which focuses on, you know, commercial real estate consulting from an asset management perspective. So with those two companies combined, it kind of created a lot of synergies with my client base in real estate into hosting and engaging in the golf world, where you can build your skills on the golf course, network, and have a great time while you're doing it. So yeah, now we're here and we run two successful companies 2 years in. You know, still a big grind and upward battle, but it's moving in a very good direction.
I love that. I mean, you see, it sounds like you have a real clear vision of what you want to do with both of these companies.
Yeah. And I think that is, if anybody's starting a company, is you always start with a vision. And 2 years later, that vision is morphed based on how we've developed and learned the market, right? So I think the real estate's a little bit more linear and pretty straightforward, but the golf company kind of morphed into what it is today. It took a slow progression. We listened to the market and our member base and our clients, and we really honed it in to provide a like high touch, high service environment.
I love that. And what did it start off with in terms of when you, yeah, the vision?
Yeah, the vision was more just to get people playing more golf together, yeah, and trying to make it more accessible because golf is very expensive. Some of us, you know, can have the luxury of the country club lifestyle, while others are, you know, focused on the muni courses, we call it, the low end, cheaper courses. So we want to kind of marry those together, where you could experience the upper echelon world of golf and meet people. And that's where you tend to meet people at country clubs and you build those relationships. So we married that together. And now we have a full integrated member app and full vertical tournament production business for high end charity groups. So with those two platforms intermingling, you know, there's just a lot of touch points where you can grow your network.
Yeah. And tell us what charities you've done, the high end ones. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, we've done events for Cedars-Sinai Medical Group, Providence St. Joe's. We're working on two military events, one for the U.S. Navy SEAL Foundation, one for the Air Force EOD, which is the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Group. So the guys, we call it the Hurt Locker guys, where they go out on the, you know, front lines and, you know, deal with explosive devices. So one of my silent investment partners in darts is my one of my best friends. He was the best man at my wedding. He's still active Air Force COD. So we put that on for his foundation. So, and the list goes on. There's a lot of local charity groups for domestic violence victims, for, underprivileged families and youth. So we help every group we can, and we've expanded it out. Now we're doing some events on the East Coast. So those are coming this year. We're still finalizing the details, but American Heart Association, Cancer Institute, we really strive to help every group we can.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And going back to what I was saying, so the vision, it wasn't like you it was very clear. It started to roll in and develop as you kept on taking one step forward. And we're going to get into how you did that and maybe some tactics on how you do that. But before you actually do that, tell us like the opposite. What are some leaders that you see that, the poor leadership skills, people that are leaders that are not able to execute on this vision? What do you see, and what's the impact of that to teams, do you think?
Yeah, I think, I've been a lot of jobs over my life and seen a lot of other entrepreneurs, and it's tough all around. So you always want to give people grace that it's easy to judge from afar. You don't ever know what somebody's dealing with, but in essence, it comes down to, communication of the vision and how you execute it. I think a lot of poor leaders, they get siloed into their thought process of what their vision is, and they don't communicate it effectively. They become more of just a almost a dictator level approach to how they, try to lead. And they have good intentions, but I think that doesn't translate well when you're building a team and you need a team to execute the vision, because it's very hard to do everything by yourself. So having somebody who doesn't effectively communicate, provide guidance, bring the team's brain power into the decision as well, be collaborative. They want to take too much control. That tends to be where you lose the vision, you lose the execution, and the goals become a little harder to achieve.
Yeah, it's almost like a dictatorship style. Why do you think they end up doing that? They have the control, they want the control.
Yeah, I think being an entrepreneur, you never believe anybody will respect your baby as much as you have, because you build it, right? And that's just human nature. I think that you become protective, that animalistic instinct. So I think that is a driving factor behind a lot of that. So again, I think that everybody has a lot of good intention. People that are building things, it's very, very hard work, and people don't realize how hard it really is and the sacrifices you have to make. So I think that's a lot of driving factor behind people wanting to hold it close. I'm guilty of it in certain ways as well, and I always try to be better about that. And thankfully, I have a good team who will call me on that when I'm being too, in my own head, if you will. So I think that's a big part of it.
So as a leader, right, what is the repercussion or the consequence, the if we were to do that, continue to do that for our teams, like continue to control and take over, what do you think? How's it impact the team?
It implodes it. I think if people want to be part of the vision, they most likely join because they believed in what you were doing and what you were pitching them and your passion. But if people don't feel like they're contributing and bringing their skills, then they tend to get more reserved and or start looking for other opportunities where they can feel value too. There's some mindsets, I've dealt with over the years where, and this is not probably not the best way to say it, but there's like a W-2 mentality and there's an entrepreneur mentality, and there's nothing wrong with either of those. So if you're an entrepreneur and you start a company and you have the W-2 associates on your team, people want that. They want to work hard. They want to help build something. They want to be part of a vision and a goal. So if you don't incorporate them in that every day in your business, then you isolate them. They feel like they're on an island, and then like, well, what am I doing here? Because I don't feel the value personally. A lot of people want the personal, they want to feel that value that they're bringing. And if they don't, then they just kind of check out, and they'll just kind of do the, what they always say, silent quitting, where they're doing the bare minimum, but they're maybe out there pursuing other opportunities.
The silence, the silent, what do they call it? Silent,
Silent quitting, or,
silent quitter. They're looking at other opportunities or doing the bare minimum. They don't really feel valued. They don't know how they're contributing because things, if they try to do something, it's not appreciated.
Yeah, and then it just perpetuates, because then you as a business owner feel like you're not getting the value you're paying for, and then they look like they're getting the value. So it becomes this, silent conflict that nobody really talks about. So
Yeah. How do we know as a leader what to allow people to do on their own and give them autonomy versus I just do it myself. I don't
Yeah, it's look, it's a really good question, and it's something I struggle with too, because
Yeah.
I think where I've been successful was I define clear roles, and set expectations. And then like anything else, there's a check and balance where it's the over communication. We meet a lot, we talk in person, we come into the office once a week, we go over what we set as the goal. So if we have, hey, due dates here, okay, check in progress, and then you're able to stop any, you basically you give protect the downside of any issues that could arise because you're constantly communicating. You're not doing it in a micromanaging way. You're doing it in a collaborative team mentality where, now I've got to the point where I trust my team. That took a while, about a year and a half, but now I know my team knows what to do. They know also how I manage and my expectations. And that's another key thing to build. But when I have a meeting, if we're on a Zoom call with a client, I know my one director is taking notes. He's on a send a follow-up. He's on everything I promised I'll do. He'll put in writing to an email like, hey, Tom, here's everything you said to the client. Because he knows I go 1,000 miles an hour because I have all this business happening, and he knows I'll execute on it, but he helps me stay on track too. So it's just as good to have them help me as I help them.
And how did you transition? And what was it like before when you didn't trust them? What was it that you didn't trust versus now?
Well, I think through the couple of years, I've had people on the team that are no longer here that have maybe that caused me to be more conservative because I trusted them, and then I basically got, lackluster results. So then it was more finding the right people, being extremely careful on who I bring in when you're small and you're new, and I'm not sitting on millions of dollars. I'm generating revenue every month to cover payroll to make sure they have a stable job, have their benefits. And I think when you give people what they need to be successful and you communicate with them, you include them in the decisions, they became way more aggressive in how much they do to support our goal because they feel extremely valued and they feel part of the conversation. So once I went to not hiring the friends and the family and things like that, which was another early mistake. Because
Oh,
you
yeah.
want to bring, you want to, you're starting something fun, innovative and new. You want to bring your closest circle with you, but you realize the human nature of people, it's scary and it can be nasty, and they don't always align with what you're trying to achieve. And all the other human natures that go into that, jealousy and frustration and all that, it became finding the right people that have the skills we need that are moldable and trainable that want to grow. That was where I really spent a lot more time vetting the people coming in. And once I really did that, along with the communication structures we talked about, it organically just happened way faster than I thought it would have.
Love
And
it.
then I think then adding on the back end those checks and balances and all those different things, it becomes pretty seamless, very limited mistakes. If people do make mistakes, they tell me before I find out because they want to get it fixed. And that's an environment which is like exciting to see kind of develop on its own.
Well, congratulations. Like, what do you
Thank
think are
you.
going to be the impacts and the outcomes in the next couple of years? What do you hope?
We have grandiose plans. I'm a believer and I'm exciting. I get excited about what we're doing. I know we have a really good brand. We have very lofty goals to grow this business, across the nation to all major markets. It's already starting to happen, bits and pieces without any marketing or anything. It's just all been word of mouth, which is super exciting to see. So yeah, I feel like we'll have branches in most major markets, and this will be a business that could be handed off to my family one day, and all my kids will be part of. And it's such a unique business, golf, because yeah, golf, we're out on the course, we're having fun, but we're doing charity work, we're doing marketing, we're doing branding and merchandising, we have accounting, we have social media, we have all the different components that go into it. And the connections we make with this business, with running big charitable groups, big corporate charity events,
Awesome.
myself and my kids and my family and our employees are really exposed to a lot of great connections. And that was the basis of why I started the social club. So it's amazing to see how it's morphed so fast. And I think that was really rooted in I had a passion what I was doing. When I talk about it, I think people resonate with it and they see the value and they believe and they want to be part of it. So it's cool to see.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm excited for you. And how did Darts Only Golf, where is that? What is that name? The backstory, the name.
Yeah, so the name, if you play a lot of golf, one of the slang terms on the golf court is throwing darts, which means throwing a really good shot, like just like a dartboard, you hit bullseye. So getting very close to the pin, the hole on the golf course. And it really started from, hey, let's just make some hats that say darts, like I'm wearing now. That's like people always wanted to buy them. So we were selling hats, and then it turned into a social club, and then it turned into a tournament business, and it just progressed. Once I kind of saw the opportunity and people, the market actually told me we were out and people were asking us for more. Say, hey, can you do more? Hey, what can we do more events? Can we have social outings? So now we do all that. We do golf clinics, we do so just social events where we go to indoor simulator places. We've negotiated over 100, golf discount, items for our member base. So trying to make the game more accessible again, so because everything we wanted to just service our members so they could really enjoy the game and then grow their network. Yeah.
That is fun. I really see this as a movement, right? It's
Yeah.
not, yeah, it is golf. Yeah, surrounding yourself with people that enjoy golf, but it's also all the connections and the people and the charity work and giving back. It's a great.
Yeah.
And I love that your kids play it too. Your whole family's involved. It's a
Yeah.
beautiful thing to
They
see.
all love it. And my sons will be out helping at some of the events, so they get exposed. And our 12-year-old, we have him sit at registration sometimes because we're trying to build up his confidence. I'm like, hey, you have to talk to every person coming up, ask their name, try to sell them a raffle ticket or things of that nature. So we're trying to teach them those early skills that I didn't have when I was young,
Oh, I know, right? And so how's he been with that? Does he to getting more comfortable? It takes
Oh
a
yeah, he loves it. And we were at one event and it was a entertainment golf tournament and you got to meet Snoop Dogg and a couple other rappers and things like that. So and then
Oh,
we
that's
do a lot of
exciting.
work with the NFL alumni too. So we,
Oh
do,
my gosh.
so he's got to meet a lot of football players and things like that. So yeah, we're doing one coming up here in June. We're doing one for the Seattle Seahawks
Oh my
here
gosh.
in Southern California. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How exciting.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Wonderful. I'm so happy for you. And would you we'll close off. Oh, and I trust that the audience have gotten what they needed in terms of building teams and execution on vision. I'm just curious, what is that one golden takeaway that you want the audience to remember when it comes to leading?
I think the one thing that always comes to my mind is, lead by example. I know that's pretty generic and not a overly obscure thought, but it's easy to get lost in your role as a, whether it's CEO or executive, whatever it is. It's you got to stay connected to the boots on the ground, and you have to immerse yourself in that too. Like I do not put myself just in the office, just leading people, directing people. I'm out there doing it. I'm out there. They see me, lifting up the equipment and putting it in the truck and showing up early. They know I'm part of the team. I don't look as anybody as, hey, this is your role. That's all you do. And this is what I do. No, we're all a team. Like the business will not succeed unless you really show you're invested in it. And it's easy to be lost in the administrative portion. You're trying to drum up new business. That's extremely important to keep everybody, paid and stable. But in the end, especially early on, you have to really be on the grind, be, on the ground and showing them that you understand what their role really entails and they will respect you more and they will give you more.
I love that. No, seriously, yeah. Be the change, be the role model that you want to be. Yeah. And yeah, demonstrate that through behaviors, through actions, through communication.
Yeah, and it's no different than being a father. Everything I do, I approach it the same way in business as a father, that my kids see what I do, they see how I react, they see how I interact with their mother. They see I have stressful moments and I have moments of anger and all the different variables that come with being an entrepreneur. But I stem that. I talk through it and then they learn how to then navigate their emotions. So it becomes very critical in all aspects of your life.
Isn't that interesting? Because you think that all the feedback that we give them, oh, do this, is the most effective. but it's actually not. It's actually what we're doing.
Right,
They're
exactly right.
watching. They imitate us. It's like, oh my gosh, that's me right there. It's
Yeah.
all the other things, our behaviors and our actions and how we communicate with others that is actually the most powerful and translates back to them.
Absolutely.
So true. Yeah. I love that, Tom. Thank you so much for sharing and for your time. And I learned a lot, had a really fun time with our conversation today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, audience, for being here. If you love this episode, don't forget to share it, to like it. Also, reach out to Tom, Darts Only Golf, and Access CRE. We'll drop all of his information in the show notes. And until next time, remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, you also have a chance to connect and inspire and make a bigger difference in this world. Until next time, much love. Take care. Bye bye. Bye, Tom.
Bye, thank you.
That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you've gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.